going to be talking today on the subject of bullying. Now, especially if you have kids, but for most people, they know what bullying is, how it's destructive, and they might like to know what to do about it. So I found an author that has written a book called Bullying Proofing You. No, Bully Proofing You. And this is Jeannie Sisko-Meth. And Jeannie has a good story to tell. And then we're going to get into talking about her recommendations for what you should do to take you out of that pool of people that get bullied. Jeannie, would you start off by telling my audience about yourself and start at the beginning and go through your life and let them know who Jeannie Sisko-Meth is?
Well, I will certainly try. I am 53, so I'll just hit the highlights, okay?
All right.
So I grew up in a dairy farm in Morton, Washington, and absolutely loved it. I loved working with the animals. I loved riding my horse. You know, I loved feeding and tending for them. And when I was in elementary school, I was diagnosed with quite a few learning disabilities. I had quite a few differences, I call them, learning differences. And it caused a lot of pain for me. I was constantly being pulled out of class. I had speech problems, I had hearing problems, I had vision problems, I was legally blind, you know, I had childhood cancer, so I had quite a few, so to speak, strikes against me, and I found that people said things that were rude and mean, and animals never did, and so I wound up absolutely loving the farm and spending a lot of time with the animals, and still to this day, I love horses. I love animals. We have dogs. We have cats. I don't live on a farm anymore. I now live in the city, but I still love being around my animal friends. I've also learned how to be around people, and I realized that hurt people, and healed people heal people. And so because of my struggles through school, I became a high school teacher, and I taught at an alternative high for 16 years, and then a high-end private Catholic school for 1 year. And I learned that it doesn't matter how much money you have, it matters what you do with your mind and what you believe. And whatever I can, you know, Walt Disney said, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And I absolutely saw evidence of that over and over again. And in 2012, I decided to transition from the classroom to the stage. And I've had the privilege of taking my Bully Proofing You message all over the country. It's also gone internationally. Now, I have not spoke internationally other than on the radio. My podcast has been downloaded in over 75 countries. And I had a speaking engagement in Ireland this year in June that obviously did not work out. And so, but I just absolutely love teaching and sharing what I've learned and learning from others as well. I absolutely love what I do.
What part of your history was the primary reason you became a teacher?
School was such a struggle for me. Oh my gosh, I remember trying so hard and just feeling like I'm not making it. And I have to admit, I was jealous of my brother. I felt like he never, ever did homework, and he got straight A's. And I remember thinking, this isn't fair. Why is it this way? And I was laying on the floor studying science or biology. I don't remember what it was. And I was trying. I was struggling. I was frustrated. I was angry. And I got up, and I went into the kitchen, and I got myself a glass of milk. And I came back in, and I laid back down on the floor. And I laid down so that my book was upside down. And all of a sudden, I could read. I could read. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, I can read. And so the next day I was so excited for school because I had figured it out. I had cracked the code, so to speak, to my mind and how it could learn. And I was so excited for English class the next day because we were reading a book out loud. And, you know, the teacher asked for volunteers, and I raised my hand, which I had never, ever done in her class. And she's like, Jeannie? I'm like, yeah, I want to read. And I stand up, and I'm holding my book upside down, and I start reading. And I'm thinking I'm doing awesome. I think, oh, my gosh, this is my life is going to change. This is going to be incredible. And the student sitting next to me points at me and says, she's so stupid, her book's upside down, and she doesn't even know it. And I just kind of trailed off and sat down and was embarrassed, humiliated, you know, everything, all of those emotions that people have. Then I went home and I thought, okay, wait a minute, Jeannie, are you going to allow this kid to stop you? You just found the key to your learning. Are you going to let him stop you? And the really cool thing about the 80s, I graduated in 1985, and I don't know if they still do this or not. I've been out of the teaching world since 2012. But they would cover their books with different types of, you know, paper. And I went and I got a paper bag from the grocery store, and I cut it up, and I covered all of my books upside down and then wrote the name so it looked like when I was reading it, it was right side up. And that's how I made it through school. So that turning point for me, in my mind, was that decision. Am I going to allow someone else to tell me what I can and can't do? Or am I going to do it to the best of my ability and the way that I need to do it? And so I made that decision. I decide, not you.
Absolutely. So that is a great point that we could all learn, that we have to listen to ourselves, and the only opinion that's important is your opinion and God's opinion. And all those other naysayers out there, all those people that criticize you, they're not worth listening to. So
that's
the truth that you know and I know, and it's nice if we could teach it to other people. But this, reading your book upside down, I've never heard of this. Did anybody ever explain to you what the possible mechanism of you being able to read upside down?
No, they didn't. But I used it as a teacher with some of my students who had dyslexia, and it worked every time. Now, there are also those, you know, things that go around. In fact, my husband saw one on Facebook the other day and showed it to me, where they mix letters and numbers. I could not read that at all. I'm like, I have no idea what that says. And he was able to read it. And I guess some people can read it with fairly easily. I just know that my brain works differently. And I've learned how to incorporate my learning style to be able to read. I'm a voracious reader, absolutely love to read, love to learn. And so each person, I truly believe each of us is given our challenges and our struggles and our strengths. It's our responsibility to find them and utilize them to the best of our ability, ask God for help, and do even more.
So how did you get the basis for your things that you teach in this book? Was it all personal experience or research from other authors or a combination? Or how did this book develop into the final product?
So I was my first guinea pig. I constantly experiment on myself. So I was reading Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I was reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and, you know, I was reading Dennis Waitley, The Science of, I can't think of it now, but, you know, all the greats, Zig Ziglar, Dennis Waitley, Jim Rohn, Napoleon Hill. And so I was reading their books and putting them into action in my life because it made sense. And I'm like, well, especially Think and Grow Rich, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And I've constantly looked for people who have overcome their struggles, because if someone else can overcome their struggles, I can overcome mine. They've given me a path. They've shown me a way to do it. And then, of course, the Bible. Spend a lot of time in the Bible as well, and seeking knowledge and then applying that knowledge. So many people just learn, but then they don't apply the knowledge to themselves. And so I absolutely applied it. Then when I was teaching, I'm like, okay, let's figure out how I can help my students even more. I mentioned I taught at an alternative high. So my students had already failed at mainstream school. That's why I chose to be a teacher there, was to help them. And so I said, hey, this is what I learned. This is what I've tried. This is, you know, something that may help you. And I saw it work time and time again, because truth is truth. It's always true. That's how you know it's truth. And so it was, go ahead.
No, I was just laughing, but that's true. So it's a combination of your life experience and what you have learned from other people sharing their life experience.
Yeah, correct. And seeing it with my students. You know, I taught for 17 years, like I said, and because of my population, it was pretty transient. And so I had quite a few students that I had the privilege of teaching and touching every year. And many of those students I'm still in touch with today. And when I was a teacher, I was much more in touch with them. And, you know, we'd be out and about in the community, and my kids would be with me, and they'd hear somebody yell, Jeannie, across the parking lot, and they'd come running, and my kids would look at me and say, former student or current student or whatever, and I'd say, yeah, they're in my class. And it wasn't so much that I was this incredible person, it was that I was able to show them who they truly were in God's eyes, not man's eyes, and then help them to start expanding and becoming more. They had allowed people to put a label on them, and they had accepted that label. And I taught them how to peel that label off and choose which labels got stuck. That's why they liked me and enjoyed my classes.
I think that I learned from your book on bullying that one of the things that you taught was to understand your real value, and that would be your self-esteem, and that if you could develop your self-esteem by understanding how valuable you were as a person, that you could interact with bullies and not let what they had to say bother you. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Because if I decide my value, your opinion is just that. It's an opinion. And that came about because I would stand at the door of my classroom and, you know, watch students walking up down the hall, and I'd welcome them into my class. And one day stood out very, you know, as it just really stood out, because in the morning, a student was walking down the hall and he was verbally accosted by another student. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I was talking to him, and it didn't seem like that bad, but, you know, it wasn't really horrible, but the student was devastated. And so I'm trying to help him and understand him. And then later that same day, another student was walking down the hall to my classroom. And in my opinion, he was horribly, horribly attacked verbally. And I'm like, dude, you okay? And he's like, yeah, that guy's just an idiot. And so that's what started me searching and looking, what made the difference. Student A was devastated by what I thought was a minor comment, whereas student B was accosted with horrible comments, and he was like, whatever, whatever. And I found in my research with my students was that student B had decided what his value was, and he didn't allow anyone else to dictate what his value was. He decided. Whereas student A was looking outside of themselves to get validation of who they were. And the problem with that is that people's opinions change all of the time. depending on how they feel that day. They may love you one day and hate you the next. And so it's important for you to decide what label you're going to put on yourself and then take action to maintain it. So it's a decision that you make and then action that you take.
So should I assume that when you were in school that you were bullied?
I was, yeah. I got called all kinds of names. And part of it, you know, I said was because of my learning disabilities. Part of it was because I was 6 foot tall by the eighth grade. You know, I didn't have a lot of people skills. I had a lot of animal skills, not people skills. And so I kind of not only literally stood out in a crowd, but I was a big target. And I did get bullied. And I've also realized that everybody gets bullied or intimidated, or everybody has struggles. And I have found that many times those struggles are the things that what make us who we are. And so I like to say my current struggles are creating my muscles so my future obstacles will be easier. And that really helps me, you know, when I'm struggling or dealing with something, it really helps me relax and ease through it instead of fight against it so much.
Well, I'm interested in finding out from you, where do bullies come from? What makes a person need to bully other people in their own mind?
My belief is that hurt people hurt people. And so they're being hurt either physically or emotionally at home. And so they are lashing out at others. And in the second part of my book, I spend quite a bit of time on that, on understanding that it's not about you at all as the victim or as the target of the bully and their words. And it's all about the bully and the pain that the bully is in. And if we can just pause for a moment and remember, oh, wait, this isn't about me, whatever, you know. So I'll use an example from my life that just happened just the other day. I had a webinar that I was marketing on social media for people to attend. I was charging $57 for it. And I had, I don't know, 45, 50 likes, something like that. I'm not sure. And I had one negative comment. And this lady was just, you know, she was rude. And I could have gotten upset. I could have gotten hurt, whatever. But I remembered, because I know that hurt people hurt people. And so I reached out to her and I said, hey, how can I help? I know you're hurting. I don't remember exactly what I said, but that was the gist behind it. And all it did was escalate and she got ruder. And I still remembered that it's okay. She's in pain. And I said a prayer for her. I said, Lord, please help her. Send somebody to her who can help her. And it's, you know, I have talked to quite a few celebrities. I've talked to many, many different people. And when they admit to being afraid, or when they admit that, hey, I get hate mail, or, you know, I get rude comments, it still shocks me. I'm like, what? You're like, you're amazing. You're like incredible. And you get rude comments? And they're like, yeah. And I say, yeah, because hurt people hurt people. And they're like, exactly. It's not about me. It's about them. And if you look at our society right now, we have so many hurt people hurting people. And I also know that healed people heal people. And if we can start the healing with my book or my comments or radio shows or whatever, then let's start the healing, because it's desperately needed right now.
So, using your philosophy, how do you overcome bullies?
You, as the bully or as the person being bullied?
As the person being bullied.
You remember that it has nothing at all to do with you. You find your support system and you start building yourself up. You build your personal value. The only person that will be with you every single day of your life is you. And if you can get a system in place to help you build your confidence and your personal value every day, then you're deciding who you are and not someone else. I have a system, I have a routine every morning that I do to make sure that my mind is protected before I go out into the world. I decide, I protect myself, and I make my decision in the morning before I ever engage with something that could hurt me or bring me down.
I imagine that you got a lot of personal satisfaction out of your teaching career, but then you left the classroom. Why?
So that I could help more people. That was really the only reason. I had people saying, you need to teach. I actually had an opportunity. It came in January of 2012. My husband and I were real estate investors, and I had gone back to a class that we had attended before just as a refresher, and people found out that my husband and I were fairly successful in real estate, and they kept asking me every single break. People would come up and ask me questions, and finally it was a 3-day event, or a two-day or three-day event, and I went up to the gentleman who was leading the event. And I said, hey, can I have 20 minutes of your stage time? People are asking me the wrong question. They keep asking me how much the education costs. And instead, they should be asking how much, you know, what's your ROI? And he said, yeah, absolutely. So I had an opportunity to teach in front of about 300 people for about 20 minutes. And there was a moment in time when I looked out over the audience and they were all sitting on the edge of their seat with their pen in their hand, writing as fast as they could as I was giving them information. And I realized, wow, this is teaching. This is helping people who want to be here. Whereas so often in the classroom, I had to overcome the negative connotation of education before I could ever teach. Whereas here, I was impacting immediately. People were listening to me and taking notes and paying attention. And I was like, I want to do more of this. I want to help more people. And so that is why I transitioned to the stage and out of the classroom.
You said that you went and asked for permission to speak because people weren't getting it. And then you used a term that most of the people that are listening won't understand. So explain ROI.
Oh, I apologize. Return on investment. And so if we paid $35,000 for our real estate investing courses through Robert Kiyosaki. And at that time, we started investing in 2007. And at that time, everybody was like, oh my gosh, you're crazy. You could buy a property with that. What are you doing paying all this money for education? You know, and I'm like, you always pay for your education. And I prefer to pay for my education up front. And so we paid for our education. And we did not lose a single property through the crash. And we continued to cash flow, where we had other friends who lost everything, not only their rental properties, but also their personal homes, because you absolutely will pay for your education. I choose to hire mentors and coaches and read books so that I can do it quicker and faster. And I would rather pay the price that I know I'm paying instead of get caught up on the back end when karma comes around to hit me. And so ROI is that return on investment. And we bought millions of dollars worth of property with that $35,000 investment in education. It did very, very well for us.
Well, I've had fortune to have the longest running single hosted spiritually based radio internet talk show in America.
And this, woohoo! And congratulations! Ring-a-ding! That's awesome!
And so my message goes all over the world, and if you can speak English and you've got a computer, there's a chance that you can hear your program in India today. So What I was going to say was that for every program that I do, I read most of, or as much as I can, of the work of the author that I'm going to be talking to. And what I wanted to say was, I've spent 21 years in formal education. That includes medical school. And the programs that I've done over this last 20 years have been more valuable than the entire education that I got in school. Now, it may be hard to believe, but when I talk to somebody and pick their brain for a half hour, and I'm asking them about everything that they put together at this point in life, and I listen to what they say, there's no way that I can't benefit from it tremendously. So I know that you feel the same way about that, and what we can do is we can try to influence other people that going to college or something like that is not the end point of being educated. Being educated is the frame of mind that you have every day. And I've got over 1,000 books in my library. And even though I spent time in all 1,000 of them, I don't have time to go back and visit them because every day I'm reading something new. However, when I get older and maybe a little senile and can't do this job anymore, I can sit down in my library and revisit the entire last 20 or 30 years of my life. And I think that that's so wonderful that you're building memories by what you do today in your career. And what I wanted to go into now is mission or purpose in life. I think mission or purpose in life, which we all have, even though we don't all know we have it, is the single most important thing that determines what kind of life you have. And for the people who have a purpose, have a mission, go out every day and try to put a little bit more emphasis into it, they're the happiest people in the world. So, Jeannie, what's your mission?
My mission is to take people from where they're at to where they want to be by helping them tame those bullies between their ears so that they can see their true potential and live into it. There are too many people that shrink back all of the time because they're afraid, they're scared, you know, they're intimidated, and we need more people living their purpose with the talents that they have been given and stop hiding them.
So you're equating bullies, internal bullies, as opposed to external bullies, which is what most people listening today will be thinking about. But you're talking about bullies within your own head, between your two ears.
Right, correct. And in fact, I'm just finishing my third book, and so far that's the working title of it, Taming the Bully Between Your Ears. The reason an external bully is seen as so detrimental is because the person number one has already been saying those things to themselves, and the person outside of them validates it. No one has power except the power we give them. I believe it's Eleanor Roosevelt that says, nobody can make you feel inferior without your permission.
Yes, she did.
And so we have so many people giving other people permission for the way they feel, or blaming other people for the way they feel. And then those voices live on in their head, and they repeat that story over and over and over again. And whatever I repeatedly do, I become. And so if I continue to tell myself I'm stupid, guess what? That's my reality. And if I tell myself, you don't decide, I decide, that's my reality as well. I want to help people live a better reality.
Well, helping other people could, in one form or the other, be everybody's mission. Because if you externalize your talents instead of just holding on to them and never telling anybody, you'll do a lot more good in the world. And I said when I was reviewing your book that there's more greater number of truthful wisdom insights in your book page for page than any other book that I can think of in my library of 1,000 books. So if someone is thinking about maybe buying your book and maybe they don't have a kid that's being bullied, buy it anyway, because there's more good stuff in your book that you can learn how to have a happier, better life than practically anything that you could go down to the store and buy. The book is called Bullyproofing You. And where can I get it?
You can get an Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere. If you're looking for a home study course that has videos and a workbook and everything with it, I highly recommend you go to bullyproofingyoubook.com, and all of those resources are right there. If you purchase the book from bullyproofingyoubook.com, I'll autograph it for you and mail it out to you. Or you can also get it at Amazon or anywhere else you would like to.
Yeah, but Amazon won't autograph it for you.
No, they won't. They won't autograph it for you. And every book I send out, I pray over as well. And I want you to know, you know, whether you purchase my book or not, if you're listening to this, I want you to know that I love you and I care for you and I want to help you. And you are an amazing person. And you need to allow your heart to shine and let other people, you need to be the example you were made to be. Yeah.
You've got a subtitle to your book, Improving Confidence and Personal Value from the Inside Out. Now, as you know, I've been helping people all over the world for the last 30, 40 years rid themselves of addictions. So far, there's over 30 that I've identified that I can help with. But it all comes back to the cause of their problem. And the cause of their problem is low self-esteem. In other words, they don't understand for one reason or the other their value. And when you don't understand your value and you don't think that you're a really valuable person, you're liable to do things that would hurt yourself. You go out there looking in society for something to make you feel better. And
right.
Those things don't last. And even if you get momentarily a rush out of whatever it is that you found, there's complications and side effects of every one of them, and they'll come and bite you in the tail. And so it's not going to work. It has to, like you say, you have to increase your personal value from the inside out. And only then can you bulletproof yourself or can you cure yourself of your addictive behaviors. And so that's why I like what you say and what you write, is because it fits in just beautifully with what I've been trying to teach for the last 40 years.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm glad to be another resource for your clients, for your friends, for your acquaintances, you know, whatever I can do to help shift the tide. And my brother had a problem with addiction for a long time. He and I no longer keep in contact. His choice, not mine. But self-esteem is an insidious, I should say low self-esteem is an insidious problem, because it plagues so many people, and it is something that is very easily brushed aside. And, you know, in the Bible it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, if you wouldn't say it to your neighbor, why are you saying it to yourself? Stop it. Just stop that.
And
say kind words to yourself and others.
And you are not able to love another person if you don't love yourself first. It just won't
happen. Correct.
And so that's like another point of wisdom that's probably in your book. I could go through and read line after line to the people listening today, and they would be amazed, but I don't have time to do that. I do have time to tell them, get a copy of the book, and you can be amazed. So that's what I'm going to do.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, you've put a lot of time, effort, and emotion into putting this into a book, and people ought to know what is the truth. Now, I'm going to, because I'm on a little bit of a jag this month in my podcasting, because I feel so bad about all the people that are dying in this country every day from the coronavirus. And what I have found by researching, talking to experts, people like you and me, not people on stage, is that there is a way of solving this problem almost immediately. And I'll be putting up some podcasts, hopefully very soon, to explain that more fully, but since we only have a short period of time today, I'm going to say that doctors around the country, especially family practice type doctors, have seen in their own practices that if a patient comes in sick and they have the symptoms of coronavirus disease, that by giving them a specific regimen of a couple medicines, and this is less than $50, that 100% of the time they can take that person out of that population of people that can get sicker, go to the hospital, get put on a respirator, can die for $50. Now, it's my mission, and I know that there are forces out there that don't want this information out for various different reasons. And I find that saddens me so much that people who want power and they want money and they want control are willing to sacrifice the very lives of our brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and grandchildren so that they can obtain their purpose. And so that's why I'm going to be doing that. So you should go over to my podcast and start listening for the answer. And the name of the podcast is Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission, where I tell about the truth that's just below the surface. And you can get there that by putting in your address bar of your phone or your computer, www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. bullyingbooks.com. And no spaces, lowercase. That will take you to my most recent podcast. Then, after you listen to that, you can start scrolling backwards in time and find other things that interest you that you can listen to. And you won't run out anytime soon, I can promise you. So that's my advertisement for today. And I want to say that this is a really great book. This is a really great author. This is a really valuable thing that you can obtain. And my advice to you is to do it. No matter what you think about in life, if you don't act on what you think, it can be the best idea ever. But there's an action step there. You've got to do it. And so that's my advice for you today. Well, Jeannie, we've come to the end of our time here. I want to give you the opportunity. I know that I've missed hundreds of things to ask you. Maybe there's something that's burning that you want to say before we quit. I'm going to turn the stage over to you and let you be the teacher or the instructor or tell us what you want to tell us.
I just want to remind you yet again that hurt people, and healed people heal people. And we can start the healing right now. There are gold nuggets in your past that you can use to create a better future for yourself and your family. Many of them are laid out in my book, and I would love to have you go to bullyproofingyoubook.com and get a copy and get some help. If you want further help than that, please reach out to me, jeannie@jeanniesiscometh.com. There's no hyphen in the email like there is in my name, but I would love to help you in any way that I can.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program and sharing your experience with this audience. And if you're in the audience, you've gotten the book and you've benefited from it, which you surely will, be sure to pass that information along to your family, to your friends, so that Jeannie's work can continue and more people can be healed. So, thanks again, Jeannie.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.